Remembrance Day. So thank you. You've been listening to Astor Talk on CITR 101.9.
Deep fry this shit no more, 'cause sooner or later I'll deep fry my hand. When I'm tired and hungover and I don't know where I am, next thing you know, today's special B.A. Johnson's deep fried hand, served with a side of rice for $4.95. No thanks. So Long John Silver, I got something for you to read and then later on peruse. And then sign me up for your crew. And I don't mean the crew in your lame American fast food fish and chip chain. They call deep fried chicken, chicken planks. How lame. And I don't care if I get scurvy and all my teeth fall and I have to eat Jell-O. And I don't care if I get my leg chopped off, I'll just train my parrot to fetch me delicious beer from the fridge. And since I'm on a schooner, I'll drink schooner. And I have excellent customer skills, and I'm not sure how that would help on a pirate ship, but I know how to work a cash register, and that would be good for counting doubloons or stolen booty. Wish every job paid me in stolen booty. So read my pirate's resume. Read my pirate resume. Read my pirate resume. Please read my pirate resume. Resume.
You're waking the neighbors!
No!
The Alliance for Arts and Culture has launched a new project called Spacefinder. It's a free-to-list, free-to-search database that helps artists find spaces they need for performance, rehearsal, exhibition, and more. You can search by area, price, and space needs. Go to bc.spacefinder.org to find or list your space now.
A woman smiled at me and said, "Is there anything you'd like to know about the neighborhood?"
Open Media International is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
Hello and welcome to the Thunderbird Eye. This week's segment, we will be going over men's soccer, women's soccer, hockey, football, and the volleyball teams on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory. And we will kick things off with men's soccer, where they played a couple games over the past weekend. It was the Canada West final. And the semifinal on Friday, it was a 3-1 victory for them against the University of Calgary in Edmonton. UBC coming in as the second seed and Calgary is the third seed. Calgary star Dominic Russo, who was second in the entire conference with 15 goals, was injured throughout the second half, so the Dinos unable to mount much of an offense. Titouan Chopin opened the scoring at 18 minutes on a breakaway pass from his brother Jules. And Manpal Brar for UBC with his third career goal at the 33rd minute on a tap-in from a low pass via Titouan Chopin. In the 56th minute, Zach Verhoeven on a 12-yard shot made it 3-0 for UBC. The assist again to Titouan Chopin. And Connors for the University of Calgary scoring on a breakaway in the 68th minute. And that was the last goal, and the game ended 3-1 shortly after that. It's the first meeting between the two teams since 2011, and UBC advanced to play the Canada West final on Saturday, where they lost in a heartbreaking 1-1 tie that went to penalties and lost 4-3 there against the University of Alberta. Alberta came in first in Canada West with a record of 13 wins, 1 loss, and 2 ties. They had the best goal differential in Canada West, unsurprisingly, and it was the second meeting between the teams this season. UBC was able to keep the Canada West leading scorer, Ajij Sarkaria, off of the score sheet through the game. The first goal in the 7th minute came from Tolu Esan for the University of Alberta, dribbling into the box and scoring on a chip shot from 18 yards out. And then UBC answered back in the 51st minute. Midfield rookie Mackenzie Cole with a header from a Jules Chopin cross in the box. And that was it for the scoring there until it went to penalties, where the first 3 shooters for both teams managed to score. And that stopped after Jules Chopin was stopped by the University of Alberta keeper Connor James. And then Sarkaria, with the ball on the line, was stopped by Bush. And Kermit Panu, with a must-score goal, unfortunately missed it, with the shot sailing over the crossbar. And despite the loss, UBC still managing to advance to the U Sports National Championships in Guelph. And that game has kicked off today at 1 o'clock, and that's University of British Columbia against the University of Quebec at Montreal. And the game is currently tied at 2. And we will update that as the game progresses here. In women's soccer, the women won the Canada West Championship in the Canada West Select 6. They played 3 games last week, and they managed to shut out all 3 of their opponents. On Thursday in the quarterfinal, it was a 2-0 win over Manitoba. And the Bisons came in as the lowest-seeded team in the Prairie Division with 4 wins, 7 losses, and 3 ties. Jasmine Danda for the Thunderbirds scored in the 15th minute by cutting into the box and rifling a low shot past Madison Wilford. And then Rachel Jones got the second goal for UBC right before halftime after a rebound from her own shot landed uncontested in the 6-yard box for the tap-in. UBC managed to outshoot Manitoba 31-1 through the game, with the Bison's only shot coming in the second half, which was an easy save for goalie Miracle. It was only the second meeting between the teams this season, and UBC won the last game 2-1 back on October 22nd. And then advancing to the semifinal, it was a 1-0 win over the McEwen Griffins, and that was on Friday. The last meeting between the two teams ended in a rare 0-0 draw for the Thunderbirds. McEwen came in with a record of 8 wins, 3 losses, and 3 ties, good for second in the Prairie. And UBC got good opportunities early, with Danda firing a shot that rebounded off of the crossbar in the 16th minute. However, the game remained scoreless until Jasmine Mander scored a shot from outside the box into the top corner in the 85th minute. Emily Burns, the goalkeeper for McEwen, was absolutely phenomenal, saving 9 out of 10 T-Birds shots on goal through the game. And UBC, as usual, with the lion's share of possession through the game. And with the win, they clinched a U Sports National Championship berth. But it wouldn't really matter, because on Sunday they won the Canada West Championship in a thrilling 3-0 romping over the Trinity Western Spartans in Langley. Both teams obviously major rivals. Trinity Western, the top team in the Canada West with 11 wins, 3 ties, and no losses, the only team to go undefeated all season. They met twice, with UBC drawing 1-1 and losing 2-1 this season. And Amelia Crawford opened it with a boot inside the right post off of a cross from Megan Pasternak in the 25th minute, followed by Jasmine Danda with her 4th of the playoffs in the 42nd minute with a low shot that just crept inside the post. And Rachel Jones making it 3-0 with a shot into the left side of the net in the 87th minute. UBC shutting out their opponents in all 3 games, Mary Miracle without allowing a single goal as she started all 3 of them. And that was the second consecutive Canada West Championship for this women's soccer team. And they will kick off the U Sports National Women's Championship today at 3:30, right now actually, in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, and they'll be playing Acadia. And now we're going to go to a quick PSA break, and we'll be right back with my interview with Bill Citeau of the UBC, their hockey correspondent. And we will be breaking down the UBC Thunderbirds men's and women's teams over the past week and on the season as a whole. So stay tuned for that.
Would you like to get updates on your smartphone in an emergency, even if a cell tower is down? It is possible if the FM chip is activated in your phone. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition. The East Van Go-Go's are pleased to announce a benefit concert and brunch Sunday, November 6th at the Trout Lake Community Center. Proceeds benefit the Grandmothers to Grandmothers Project of the Stephen Lewis Foundation, supporting African grandmothers who are raising children orphaned by AIDS. The event combines delicious home cooking and soul-stirring live performances from Illiterati. Seating is limited, so reserve a ticket now by emailing eastvangogos@gmail.com.
Join Team PowerSmart. Set an energy conservation target of 10%. You'll get access to tools to help you conserve, and you can track your progress online. Visit bchydro.com/Team PowerSmart to join today. This message brought to you by BC Hydro PowerSmart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Okay, Bill, so over the past weekend, we had the men's and women's teams play, and the men's, they managed to come away with two wins. Their season's starting to shape up pretty nicely here, and what did you think of their action?
Well, it seems like they're finally coming back on track. I mean, you know, earlier on, the situation wasn't looking too good. The preseason was fairly decent, but then it seems like once they hit the regular season, things just started to kind of go downhill from there. But it looks like things are picking up, and looks like Boot and Sean might not possibly risk getting fired, because he kind of came in as a head coach kind of on call, if you might, because Coach Shell left and then he had to step into the role. And it looks like at least the team's making a little bit more progress. It seems like they're getting back on track.
Yeah, both of the games over the past weekend being double overtime games, fairly rare. UBC managing to win both of them. The Friday game, maybe they stole that win, considering they were outshot by a factor of 2-1 against the Pronghorns for most of it. And UBC lost the lead at three separate points throughout the game. Pronghorns relentless in their assault on them. But the goaltending for UBC held up over the weekend. Derek Dunn was excellent on Friday, and then on Saturday, Matt Hewitt got the start, and he was also phenomenal, facing a bit fewer shots, but only let in two goals in that one. And now that surprisingly brings us to three straight wins on the season for this men's team, after about as rough of a start to the season as you could possibly get.
Oh, absolutely. I think that considering that Matt Hewitt only has like 1 year left here at this university, he's eventually going to need a replacement, and Derek Dunn is probably the person to do that.
Yeah, we've already seen Derek Dunn starting to cannibalize some starts here. Matt Hewitt's managed to have 7 to start the season, and Derek Dunn's had 5. Matt Hewitt starting the bulk early on and got absolutely lit up in the first 4 games. UBC with very little goal support, and I think he let in something like 14 goals through those first 4. Quite rough. And about goal support, we've started to see that come a little more here. The depth scoring's come alive. The top line is firing on all cylinders. Bardero's been incredible. He's on a 6-game scoring streak now with 11 points over that. Second in the league in goals with 7. And yeah, just phenomenal line there. What do you think of the depth for UBC's men's team this season? How's it look compared to last year?
Well, so far looking at the team, it's not like they have really one person who is a particularly prolific scorer, unlike, say, maybe for some of the other sports teams here at this university, where it's one person who's consistently contributing. Here, it seems to be much, much more evenly spread out amongst the players. Well, Bardero, of course, is one of the more senior players on the team, so he has a little bit more of a leadership role compared to many of the others. And so the fact that he is contributing in the way he did over the last couple of games really does help to change the dynamic.
Without a doubt. And even with Bardero's excellence, and Vetterall as well, who's been phenomenal, and rookie defenseman Jarrett Smith, amazing performance so far. 7 points in the first 8 games. Good for 3rd on the team in scoring. And the special teams has been absolutely dreadful so far. And even with Bardero on that top unit, they've only managed to capitalize off of an unbelievable 2 out of 46 penalties so far. The penalty kill isn't much better than the power play this season. They're currently first in time shorthanded in the entire league with 51 penalties against them so far. And their penalty kill percentage is the worst in the league. It's 72.4%. Obviously, we know Luke Lockhart has been excellent in a two-way capacity in the past. And he's also on the penalty kill top unit for much of this season. But as far as the penalty kill, what's happening there?
It's really like more of an issue with the chemistry than with like a specific player or with the way the goaltenders have played. It's more of like a team performance thing.
Yeah, Coach Sven Budensjön can't be too happy with the lack of discipline we've seen early on here. Yeah, leading the league, 51 penalties. Not looking good in that regard, but they are lucky that their next game will come, not this weekend, but the following one, against Regina. And that'll be in Regina. And Regina currently last place with a 7-game losing streak. They haven't won since their first game of this season, and they're last in goals for with 14. They've been getting absolutely shelled here, and UBC, one of two teams along with Saskatchewan, that's played 10 games so far this season. Every other team has only played 8. So even though UBC's managed to move up to that 6th-place spot just on top of Lethbridge, Lethbridge still with 2 games in hand, and same with Regina down at the bottom there. You would have to think that the rest would give them a perfect opportunity to hit the reset button and try to work on their special teams especially, but even strength too, where they haven't been particularly excellent defensively. In women's hockey, everything's good there. They are still the top-ranked team in the country. I believe they moved up to that spot a week or two ago. And they're on an 8-game winning streak after the past weekend where they won 5-1 and 4-3 against Lethbridge in Lethbridge. And the women's team is always managing to outshot their opposition by a healthy amount on Friday, 41-27, and Saturday, a whopping 52-9. Just an unbelievable margins for that team. Why do you think the women's team is performing so phenomenally here?
The obvious answer to the question would be that there are a lot of seniors on that team right now, a lot of fifth years in particular. So there's a lot of veteran talent that's coming in. I believe this year the team has a total of 9 senior players, so 9 players are in fourth or fifth year, which is probably one of the largest, at least in recent history. And so I think that's definitely a contributing factor. And as even some of the players themselves have mentioned, like Kathleen Cahoon said this once, that scoring really can come from any lineup. A lot of their, even a lot of their younger players are really stepping up. They're really putting points on the board as well. Really in combination, that makes for a very, very formidable offense.
Yeah, the coach has definitely got to be happy with the players he's got to work with here. I believe he brought in 3 or 4 NCAA imports as well for this season. And what do you think of their impact here?
Well, one of the goaltenders we know was originally a transfer from Cornell University, so she brings a lot of varsity experience onto the rink as well. Considering that all of the 3 goalkeepers this year are first years here at UBC, and so the fact that all 3 of them are first years and yet they're somehow stopping a lot of the important shots that their opponents make is really another crucial factor in like the winning streak that we just saw.
Yeah, UBC's been incredible as far as their offense and defense. They're currently first in the league in goals for, and they're second in goals against. They've only allowed 18 goals on the season, managing 37-4, which is pretty incredible for the team. And yeah, you mentioned the veteran players, and definitely they've been huge here for this team. The women's team not losing too much talent over the offseason, especially not offensively. Losing Rebecca Unrau would probably be the big loss, and Danielle Dubé as well. They seem to have definitely managed to bolster their ranks, bringing in Cass Vilgrain especially. She's been lights out for this program. And the special team's looking pretty good here too. 3rd in power play percentage with 16.7%. And their penalty kill's also been excellent, 2nd in the league, 90%. Very strong performance in both of those areas. Moving forward, the women's team will be playing against Regina. And Regina, currently 4th in the league, have a record of 5 wins, 4 losses, and 1 overtime win. No overtime losses, 17 points, and their goals for and goals against split an even 24 in each. They've been fairly strong here, but with the women's team, do you think there is anything for them to improve on to really improve their dominance in this conference, or are they already at their peak performance here?
to be perfectly honest, I would say they're actually at their peak performance already, because if you've seen the way that the team's been performing so far, and the easiest comparison I can draw with the current women's hockey team right now would be the men's rugby team last season. Last season, they had a lot of senior players, and that is really, I guess, one reason that they were able to have a perfect season. And as for this team, they're seeing a lot of the parallels they share with the men's rugby team last season. They have lots of offensive firepower from their power forwards, and they have some strong goaltending and defensive play as well. And so moving forward, they are a very, very talented team that can definitely top the Canada West Conference this year. I have full confidence that they can do it.
All right, fantastic. Thanks a lot, Bill.
No worries, Tim. Thanks for having me.
And that was Bill Sidhu of the UBC, their hockey writer. And we're going to go to PSAs real quick, and we'll be back with Jason Wang, who will bring us an update on football. You are listening to the Thunderbird Eye here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Dance Horizons provides affordable classes and encourage students to get involved with the community to develop as dancers.
Our classes are open to all skill levels, with styles ranging from hip-hop to ballet, and are taught by professional instructors.
We're running some exciting events in the next week.
Our dancers will be visiting Harvard Dance Center and are putting on a show on campus on December 3rd. If you want to see us dance to this song, visit UBC Dance Horizons on YouTube.
November 25th is the third Vancouver edition of Intersessions, an all-ages series of DJ workshops curated for and by women, gender nonconforming, and queer folks.
Come learn the basics of DJing and connect with new friends through the practice on CDJs, turntables, tractor, and Serato in a safe and fun atmosphere.
The workshop is at Redgate, and there's a $15 suggested donation, which is pay what you can. No one will be turned away for lack of funds.
If you are interested in participating, check out the Facebook event and RSVP.
In UBC Thunderbirds football, the Thunderbirds this past week in their Canada West semifinal matchup against the Regina Rams at Mosaic Stadium in Regina, upset the first place Rams team with a resounding 40-34 victory. And it all came through starting in the second quarter. The Thunderbirds broke through with two touchdowns to take a 20-10 lead into halftime. They added another touchdown in the third quarter before holding off the Rams' comeback in the fourth quarter. UBC led Regina to start the third quarter 32-13. They added another touchdown, David Mann's 11-yard catch from Michael O'Connor to give themselves a 26-point lead at that point, 39-13. Regina answered with three more touchdowns before the end of fourth quarter time, but it was not enough. The Thunderbirds still had six more points to spare with the final score 40-34. In the head-to-head battle of quarterbacks, Noah Picton completed 25 passes on 35 throws, 364 total yards, and one touchdown. For UBC, Michael O'Connor, a total 397 yards passing, 29 completions on 40 throws. He connected two touchdowns in the air and was intercepted by Regina once. In the ground attack, Ben Cummings led the Thunderbirds with 92 yards on the ground on 21 carries, scoring one touchdown. For the Rams, Atlee Simon carried the ball 16 times for 78 yards, scoring three touchdowns, all in the red zone. In the opposite Canada West semifinal, the Calgary Dinos beat the Saskatchewan Huskies last Saturday at McMahon Stadium 47-17, setting up a rematch of the Hardy Cup Championship for the Canada West title coming up this Saturday at McMahon Stadium once again, just like it was last year. And the Calgary Dinos looking for a different result this time, trying to take down the defending Hardy Cup and Vanier Cup champions, the Thunderbirds, somehow with the odds stacked against them with a 3-6, with a 3-5 conference season record, head into this matchup as the underdog team once again. But that certainly didn't stop them last year on their playoff drive. Kickoff will be on Saturday in Calgary from McMahon Stadium at 1 local time Mountain or 12 Pacific in Vancouver. Tune in on the internet, canadawest.tv, for video streaming, or watch on TV on Shaw. In UBC Thunderbirds women's field hockey, the T-Birds this past week were playing in Toronto at the U Sports National Championship Tournament. And for the sixth season in a row, the Thunderbirds are the McRae Cup champions, finalizing their championship run with a 2-1 victory in the gold medal final in penalty strokes over Victoria Vikes. The regulation time goals were scored first from Victoria, Amanda Kurlanovitz, in the 49th minute in the second half off a penalty corner. The Thunderbirds equalized 12 minutes later in the 61st minute, another penalty corner goal, this one on a deflection tip-in by Gabby Jaime. The tiebreak is penalty strokes, best 3 out of 5 rounds, and the Thunderbirds had goal scoring from two shooters, Rachel Donahoe and Sarah Keglovich as well, and the Thunderbirds goaltender, Gabriella Switzer, stopped all four Victoria Vikes shooters to secure victory in the penalty strokes tiebreak. The gold medal win for UBC followed two other regulation time victories, 3-2 over Toronto and 5-0 over Guelph in round-robin play, and also a 1-1 draw against Victoria as well for the Thunderbirds to qualify into the championship gold medal match. The Thunderbirds this season see the graduation of three key players from their lineup. Most valuable player of the tournament, Hannah Hahn, graduates at the end of 5 years, along with Gabby Jamie, midfielder, who scored the 1-1 equalizing goal on Sunday. And also at the end of 4 years of eligibility, Rachel Donahoe, the U Sports Field Hockey Player of the Year, will graduate as well. Here's Rachel Donahoe speaking about her relationship with those two graduating teammates in particular.
We've been together since first year, me, Hannah, and Gab. And I think there's something about going through the 5 years together that bonds you, both on a friendship on and off the field. And we've gone through everything together, the highs, the lows, the different obstacles we've had to face as a team or as individuals. And both Gabby and Hannah have provided a friendship that I hope will continue on past graduation. And the support that they've provided me it's great. Like, it's indescribable, and I'm so happy and lucky to have graduated with two fabulous and independent women.
Here's Gabby Jaime on how she managed to score the equalizing 1-1 goal on a penalty corner tip-in.
It's definitely something that we've been working on every practice. We've done it 100 times. So for me, it was really just trusting that my teammates would be able to get the ball into the exact same position. And all I had to do was just lay my stick into the lane, and then the ball would go where I wanted it to. So yeah, it was a really good feeling to have that ball go in the net.
Here are the thoughts of UBC head coach Robin Dabreo on his team's victorious run at the end of their national championship, winning the McRae Cup for the sixth season in a row for UBC women's field hockey.
To kind of really assess our performance, the result indicated a 1-1 tie, which was a close game and symptomatic of, you know, the games that we had played against them all season. We had two ties through the season and two very narrow one-goal victories through the season. So we knew that opponent really well. We knew they would be tough. And when we looked at some of the statistics around our performance, we recognized that we were generating still quite a bit of opportunity, but we weren't necessarily putting that opportunity away or converting it. And so our strategy going into the second game was very much a case of continuing to maintain confidence in our existing game plan, because we recognized that it was generating opportunity, but just trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves and squeeze almost too tight to try and get that goal too early. We recognized that we needed to invest in process, as we've done all season, and that was a strategy we took largely into the final, recognizing that we need to stay confident with our plan A, because by and large our plan A was working.
And that is it for the Thunderbird Eye this week. On behalf of Jason Wang and Bill Satou, I'm Tim Winter, and thank you very much for listening. Coming up next is Simorg with your Persian cultural fix, and tune in next week for CITR Sports' next broadcasts. There will be none this weekend, as it is the Remembrance Day bye for all of the teams. But thank you very much for listening, and you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM.
SpongeBob, you're wasting me precious carbon dioxide. I'm pumping it into the atmosphere, boy. Thanks to global warming, the temperature will soon go through the roof, and the